العالمين والصلاة والسلام على الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه مسلم بسنته الدين أما بعد. If in case my voice goes lower, the sisters are requesting if they can just let me know because it's hard to keep track over here. Inshallah, I decided today we'll do the same topic. If you were there at the Friday at Bud Lake over there, we were talking about istiqama and al-thabat, stability and firmness in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the khutbah was about on Friday, so which was basically a synopsis of a major topic, which there's a book written by a very great Sheikh Saleh Munajjid from Saudi Arabia. His book is called in Arabic Wasail al-thabat ala deenillah. Wasail is the plural of wasila, which means means and resources. So his book is a very nice book. It talks about the means and resources of stability or establishing firmness in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of calamity and difficulties and obstacles of life, whatever it may be. Already in the khutbah I gave two of them, and one was Quran, if you remember, and the other one was obedience of the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws and regulations that Allah has given. Once we implement that, our salat, our siyam, our zakat, all these things are tools and instruments to strengthen and fortify our iman, our taqwa in the heart, and hence become more stronger mu'min. Those were the two. The book talks about at least 15. No, I don't want to scare you, I'm not going to go through all 15, but I've chosen out of the, we did two, so we're left with 13. Out of the 13, I've chosen about 5 of them, which I'll discuss. Five, which I believe is important for us American Muslims living here in America. So therefore the third one that he talks about is تدبر قصص الأنبياء ودراستها للعمل. That تدبر meaning thinking, pondering. On what? On the stories of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see any story of the prophet, of any of the prophet mentioned in the Quran, it's not just for amusement and to get delighted, but it is to take durus wa ibra, meaning lessons of wisdom, to understand that if Prophet Ibrahim faced this, or Prophet Yusuf faced this, or Prophet Isa or Yahya faced this, how is that applicable to us today? And what can I derive, if any, lessons from that application that Prophet so-and-so did at that time? So that is what Sheikh Saleh over here says, that one of the very major tools of strengthening istiqamah, strengthening your iman and your taqwa in this life, is thinking and pondering upon those lessons. He gives some examples, or I quote. For example, he says that the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these stories of the prophets in the Quran is for our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is given in Surah Hud, verse number 120. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over there, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِدَةٌ وَذِكْرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that every story, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلِ. أَنْبَاء plural of نَبَاء, رُسُل plural of رَسُول. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah s.a.w. in this ayah, saying that we have given the news of all the previous prophets that have come for what? مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. فُؤَادَك meaning your heart. Or Muhammad s.a.w., your heart has to be strengthened, needs to be strengthened for da'wah purposes. So therefore, as Allah is giving you all these prophets' stories so that your heart becomes stronger. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَقِّ وَمَوْعِذَةٌ وَذِكْرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this has, these stories of prophets are true, they're not fictitious, they're not made up, they're not constructed, rather they are real life examples, as is, what happened at that time. Like how did the camel of Prophet Salih alayhi salam came out? Allah explains all of that. Because Muhammad ﷺ was not alive in those prophets' time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this word of the ayah is saying that Muhammad ﷺ, consider yourself as if you have gone flown back in time and you're visualizing the events that are happening. Therefore, the people when they were throwing Ibrahim ﷺ in the fire, if you look at the verses of Quran that describe that incident, they're very vivid, specific words to give you a visualization of that. You actually feel it spiritually inside that event that you are witnessing, that when Ibrahim Islam is being thrown, you actually feel your temperament moves inside when you're reading those verses. When Yusuf Islam is being thrown in the jail, you actually feel what a person feels like when they're detained and they are innocent. Right? We know that very well, because we as Muslims for the last 4 years in this country, have been facing what Yusuf al-Islam said, faced a long time ago. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was a young man thrown in the jail in spite he was innocent. What is Allah teaching us? Teaching us that you believers will be tested for your iman also, just like my prophet Yusuf al-Islam was tested for his iman. Because when did he enter the jail? He entered the jail when he witnessed or felt a glory of something. And what was that glory? His release from the well. When you are deep down on the well, the bottom of the well, you are hopeless. You are helpless. You have given up. You've surrendered. You said, that's it. Who's going to come? From where? Out of nowhere, Allah sends a caravan, rescues the young boy, Prophet Yusuf al-Islam. So he has just witnessed glory days or glorification of something. He has just witnessed a high. Now if you want to talk in graphic language, a crest and a trough. He's just come out of a crest, he goes to Egypt, faces the turmoil, and then he's back into a trough. He's back down at the end of the cliff, as if he's thrown in the jail. And he knows that he's innocent, because the governor's assistant said that whoever's fingerprints you see, you can define. I mean, I'm cutting short the whole story because it's a very long story itself. But what is the limelight we want to learn from that? We want to learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us ups and downs in our life. So when you are facing the up, ishkur lillah, give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you're facing the downside and you're feeling very depressed and you feel that calamities have gripped you and you're feeling very anxious in those days, do not give up hope. Because remember, this is what Allah taught us in the lesson of Yusuf al-Islam. When he taught them the dream and everything, what did he say? اذكرني عند ربك. Allah reveals those verses over there in the Quran, saying that my beloved Prophet Yusuf al-Islam, he began to ask the person to whom he gave the definition of the dream, Hilm. He said, when you go back to your Lord, meaning Lord over there does not mean Allah or God, it means King, because that person had come from the King. When you go back to your king, tell him about me. What? In anticipation that he might release him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson that look, even as a prophet, he faltered, dwindled a little bit. Because as Rasulullah explained to us these ayahs, he said, Allah immediately sent Jibreel al-Islam to Yusuf al-Islam in the sijin, in the prison. And he said to him, Ya Yusuf, your Rabb has sent me, Jibreel is telling him, your Rabb has sent me saying, have you forgotten who released you from the well? Meaning when you're asking a person, go and talk to your leader or your king and tell him about me, so I can be released from this sijin. Because prison is what? It's confinement. What is in a well? When you are dropped down in the well and you have no rope, you're confined. So detention is in both. Jibreel Islam is reminding Yusuf al-Islam that, who rescued you from that confinement? So why you don't approach him? And that's why you see over there istaghfara, that Yusuf al-Islam immediately make istaghfar. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we as human beings, we tend to forget and tend to rely on asbab at times. But the true mu'min, in the whole of that, moral of that lesson is, no matter how high you are in terms of your life, prosperity, no matter how low you are in terms of your adversity, never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never depend or rely on means, resources, in front of it. Yusuf al-Islam, for a second he thought that this person, if he goes test the king will be so delighted hearing the explanation of the dream, he will release me. But yes, he kept that in mind. But he forgot for a split second that the one who brought him into the jail is the one who can also release him. And that is what the moral of that story that Sheikh Salim Munajjid is saying, that we learn these Qasasul Anbiya not just for amusement. Oh, it's such a nice story, Yusuf al-Islam was in the well, then he went to the jail, then he went to the palace, and then he did that. No. To learn how life's tantrums fluctuate in our life, and we learn the same thing. So God forbid if a mu'min in America is detained, what is he supposed to do? What Yusuf al-Islam did? You remember that Sheikh of the Maghrib Institute, one of their teachers, Sheikh Yusuf Birjes, or Yusuf Isa, he was detained. He was just released. We heard his story and everything. He converted 5 people in the prison while he was there. He was doing the job of Yusuf al-Islam. The authorities were so tired of him. They said, hey, it's better releasing him than keeping him inside, because we keep him inside, he's more detrimental to us. He's going to convert people. So it's better release. So they released him. They didn't say that he's free from his... They said, no, he still has the charges and everything, but because we can't solve the paperwork to deport him, we just release him until it does. exactly the story of Yusuf Islam right now in 2005 with one of our own brothers. Why? Because Sheikh Yusuf Burgess kept his iman strong inside, and he remembered that Allah sent Yusuf Islam in the prison for a purpose. See, there is dual, two things in it. One, we learn that even if you're innocent, sometimes you may be put into confinement, prison. That's what happened to Sheikh Yusuf. He was innocent, nothing wrong about it. Just maybe some paperwork, visa problem, something, they detained him, they put him inside. But he did not give up hope. He did not become depressed and, you know, crying and this and all that, wailing and all that. Kept his composure, kept his resolve. Remembered that Yusuf Islam was there. What did Yusuf Islam do in the prison? He began da'wah. أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. That's the ayah in Surah Yusuf. That Allah said, Yusuf al-Islam began to tell the prisoners in the jail that أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُ خَيْرٌ. Do multiple gods of different things, is that better? Or one powerful god? Meaning he's giving da'wah in jail. And then after, because of his da'wah, Yusuf al-Islam was released. Not because of the favor of telling the dream. Did you see that whole story? If you read Surah Yusuf, you will get the moral of the story. That look, just because you help people in life, just because you facilitate for someone else, don't expect of them. Yusuf al-Islam was expecting that I now just explained the whole dream of this king, so maybe he's going to go and tell the king's going to release me. No. Allah still released him, in spite of the person forgetting in the king, because Allah is al-Qawi, al-Jabbar, al-Qahar. And Allah just wanted to teach us a lesson that when you do favors for humanity in this world, do not expect of them. Because this is the human nature, they will tend to forget. You'll forget your favors, forget your help. If you help someone change their tire on the highway, don't expect next time you have a flat tire, you're going to call them, they're going to come and help you. No. This is not a believer. A believer is one who does help for others solely and purely for Allah and expects from Allah, not from the human being. That is the moral of that story. The other thing he mentions also is the qissa of Ibrahim al-Islam. We'll bypass that because I explained that two Jummas ago. We were talking about the Bab al-Tawakkul again in the Jummah khutbah. So we had that. The other one he tells us about over here is the issue of Musa al-Islam. فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّ لَمُدْرَكُونَ قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِي رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Allah Subhanahu says this ayah in Surah Shu'ara, Surah 26, verses 61-62, that فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانِ, when the people of Musa saw the Jam'an, saw the people of Pharaoh coming towards, charging at them, and they also saw the river, or the sea, you can say, the Red Sea, they said, إِنَّ لَمُدْرَكُونَ. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى, أَصْحَابُ, friend, people of Musa, إِنَّ لَمُدْرَكُونَ, we are certainly indeed doomed. We are going to be drowned, mudrakun. We either drowned and we die, or we die at the swords of Pharaohs. What did Musa al-Islam say over there? Qala kalla inna ma'i rabbi sayahdeen. Musa al-Islam, even though all his close people gave up, surrendered, gave up hope, Musa al-Islam, being a prophet, kept his composure, resolve, and he said, kalla, no, never, not at all. At no possible cost. Inna ma'i, certainly with me, Rabbi, my Lord, Sayyahdeen, he's going to find a way out. What do we learn from that for 2005? There are times in our life that we face, whether it's at job, at a career, or in-house, domestic issues, or family issues, or in our education, maybe an exam, or a paper, or a test, whatever the case may be, there are times when we feel so demoralized, low self-esteem, so dejected and rejected, we feel like everything is closed. At that moment, a person should only recite this dua with kathra, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. If you recite this tasbih on 100 beads, or even on your fingers, just recite this silently while you're driving or walking, because you're facing so much difficulty in your personal life from every aspect, just keep reciting this and you will see Allah will make a faraj, will make an opening for you from a place that you don't even think of. Why? Kullu bi barakati du'a, and barakah of the composure, resolve. Allah tests us, and there are tests going to come. Sometimes we feel like, hey, I'm praying 5 times a day, I take care of my parents, I take care of my kids, I do everything right. Then why do I have this problem, difficulty? Because it's a test. Allah wants to see. Just because you're praying, fasting, and doing everything, you're observing Islam and everything, does not mean you're going to be let free. He's going to test you by giving you a very, very tormentuous difficulty. But remember, the one who gives difficulty is the one also who gives the ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. That verse is repeated twice in that surah. Why? For a purpose. Allah SWT wants to tell us that look, certainly indeed with difficulty there is ease. So when you see the things getting, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. This is a thing that has been taken from Quran, from Sharia. It's not the English proverb or English idiom. It's from us. Because Allah is saying, Inna ma'al usri yusra. And what the scholars of tafsir say here is that the word ma'a means with, not after. Allah did not say, Inna ba'dal usri yusra. No, never. Other than, Allah never used the word ba'da. As we know in Arabic language, ba'da means after. So usually people are used to translating, oh yes, certainly after difficulty there is ease. No, Allah never said that, that after difficulty there is ease. Allah said with difficulty. With the difficulty. Inna ma'al usri yusra. You have to search for the ease. It is attached, laden, laced with the difficulty. The thing is, we are in so much stress at that time that we are blinded. We are blinded by the difficulty, so we can't search for the ease. At times when it's just like, suppose, I'll give a small example, like suppose you want to make a passport and you got to fly in 2 days and everything looks so difficult, everything looks like almost impossible. If I don't get the passport, I won't fly, I will miss that engagement in another country or something. But it was, what do you find out? There was a small glitch over there, you just have to do some paperwork and boom, you can get it in overnight and take the ticket and fly. Once you are on the plane and flying, and then retrospectively going back, you feel like, man, that was so easy. Why was it looking so difficult? Because you're so stunned, blind. Like suddenly you come on the highway and the flashlights of the car with the high beam stun your eyes. For a second you've got to be stunned, you've got to be stuck until you can regain your vision and then try to see, okay, I've got to maneuver from the road somewhere. Just like the deer gets stunned when we are driving. Why do we hit them all the time? Because they get stunned. Their senses get blocked off. They don't know what to go, right, left, forward, front. And you as a driver are like, oh my God. So that is the same philosophy that Allah is teaching us here. That look, what happened to Musa? The people got stunned. They said, hey, water here, Pharaoh there. That's it. Give up hope. But Allah said, Inna ma'al usri yusra. With the difficulty, there is ease. Look for it. So Musa said, Kalla. Inna ma'al rabbi. So indeed, Allah is with me. Even in this dead end, there's going to be a way out. Allah is going to make a way from the dead end. What did he do? Allah inspired Musa Islam, throw your staff, throw your stick, and just see. Even Musa Islam being a prophet, in spite of him being a prophet who talks to Allah, Kalimullah, he did not know that the whole sea was split for him. All he knew was, Inna ma'i rabbi sayahdeen. He said, oh, I'm a human being like you. I got the same brain like you, same eyes like you. I don't know anything extra from ghaib, but I do know that Allah is with me, he will make a way out. So he was inspired. Allah inspired Musa Islam directly saying, go ahead and put your staff down. You put it, and even Musa Islam saw that miracle. And he showed his people the way. And now they are scared a second time. Hey, they are coming also. Again Musa Islam said, don't worry. Allah is with us, he will make a way out. Why? If you look from a technical point of view, enemy following you in the middle of that miracle, you will say, hey, wait a second, if I cross the whole sea and he crosses as an enemy, we are doomed. So the enemy is coming into the path of yours, technically that thing is a wrong, bad thing, right? From your perspective, he's following you, he's catching up with you, but you don't know the way. You don't know that Allah is going to close that water again and drown him. You don't know that. You are a human being, you are limited. Allah is unlimited. So the reason I'm bringing this up is sometimes we perceive things are bad for us, but they're good. The coming of Pharaoh inside that river or inside that sea was good for Moses and his people. Why? Because if he would have been saved and not drowned, he may have crossed the river some other way and then catch up with Moses and his people later on at Mount Sinai. So in our life today, in 2005, sometimes there may be some bad things being done towards us. We don't know why they're happening, but they may be happening for a good purpose. Just like Pharaoh came in, and then when the time was right, Allah closed the sea, and Pharaoh's gone. So now the same people who thought the coming of Pharaoh is bad, they say, oh my God, we were such fools, why couldn't we think of that? You can't, because your brain that doesn't have that capacity to think ahead of time. So if suppose you missed a flight today, or got into an accident, or something else happened, something that you think from your criteria is bad, it may be good. Because you don't know what the khair is coming after. But how do we learn all this? تفكر وتدبر في قصص الأنبياء. Just from these two prophet stories, I laid down to you application of their life in our time right now, in the case of Musa and Yusuf al-Islam. Moving on forward, he says the fourth, رابعاً, the fourth tool of stability and istiqamah is dua. A mu'min never despairs from dua. Mu'min never gives up dua. A dua silah al-mu'min. You know silah? Sword, ammunition. Not just a tool and instrument, but an ammunition, a force. Dua is a silah of a mu'min. Dua is the power, the force, the ammunition of a believer. When a believer is totally helpless, they're not helpless, they still have dua. What did Yusuf al-Islam do in the bottom of the well? What did Ibrahim al-Islam do while he's in the motion of projectile being thrown in the fire? What did Musa al-Islam do when he saw the river in front and Pharaoh behind? Dua. Kalla inna ma'i rabbi sayahdeen. So Allah, He answers the caller at the moment that is right. Because sometimes we get impatient. We make a dua and say, oh, Allah's not listening to me. I've been making this dua for a week now. Nothing happened. Who knows? Maybe right now is not the right time. When the time is right, it will come. And even if you don't get what you're asking for, maybe Allah, in lieu of that, in place of that, might have given something else. Like the other hadith of Rasulullah, he said, لَا يَرُدُّ الْقَدْرِ إِلَّا الدُّعَى. Nothing averts the qadr, fate, predestination, except dua. What does that mean? I mean, suppose in someone's destiny was written that they're going to have a car accident in a 6 month time. They've been making dua for something. And that something that they're making dua for is not beneficial, good for them. So Allah is not giving them. But they're persistent in the dua. 6 months they're making dua. Because of that dua, Allah will change the accident that was meant for them. The accident will not happen. It was written. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it for it. And that is what this hadith means. لَا يَرُدُّ الْقَدْرِ إِلَّا الدُّعَى. In other words, we are understanding the concept of dua, supplication, invocation. We often make dua very hastily, very rapidly. Or a lot of times we make dua with conditions. Rasulullah said that whenever you make dua, don't make a condition. Oh Allah, if you do this, I'll do this. Oh Allah, if you give this, I'll do this. Allah is a creator, master. How can we put condition on Him? That if you do this, I should do it for Him anytime, all the time, regardless of whether He does it or not for me. But sometimes we as human beings tend to become very childish. Say, oh Allah, if I do this, or if I get that job, or if this happens, oh, if I get that job, I'll feed 100 people. Let me go ahead and feed 100 people anyway. Why should I wait for that job? Why are we trying to barter or bargain with Allah? That, oh Allah, because I'm going to help your 100 people on earth, you know, give me that job. Rather, it should be the case that I should do it right away. So that is what the Shaykh over here is saying, that dua should never be forgotten. Dua should always be used as an instrument, as a tool, and we should constantly be making dua, kathratu dua. Why? Because of the hadith of Rasulullah that is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi in his book, قُلُوبُ بَنِي آدَمْ كُلُّهَا بَيْنَ أَصَابِعِينَ مِنْ أَصَابِعَ رَحْمَنِ كَقَلْبٌ وَاحِدٌ يَصْرُفُهُ حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He's saying that, Rasulullah is saying that the hearts of all the Bani Adam, hearts of all human beings, is between the two fingers of the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَصَابِعَ رَحْمَنِ. Now we don't take this literally, we don't say just like we have fingers, Allah has fingers. But that is a metaphorical expression saying that for Allah it's very easy to change the heart of anybody. Like somebody is bent upon destroying you, destructing you. You don't fear. No fear. La khawf. Why? Because you know Allah, if He doesn't want that person to destroy or cause destruction to me, nothing's going to happen. So I don't get at all threatened by their threatening or warning. I don't at all get into influenced by their words and by their attitude. Because I know that if I am on haq and Allah is with me, Allah is going to protect me. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me and He is the best of the protectors. So He's saying, كَقَلْبٌ wahid. The hearts of all the human beings is like one heart between the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَصْرِفُهُ حَيْسُ يَشَاءُ. Allah changes the hearts of human beings as He pleases. So if He wants, He can change the heart of a kafir and put remorse and guilt in him, nadama, and see they'll do something good. If He wants, He can make a dictator, an oppressor, totally different. Or if Allah wants, He can make a soft-hearted person totally different and he becomes. So whatever can happen, it can happen by Allah. In other words, if somebody is decided on something, like you're requesting somebody to give you something and they say, no, I've made up my mind, I'm 100% dead sure, I'm not going to do this for you. You think you give up hope? No. You ask Allah, the one who is the beholder of all the hearts of believers and non-believers and human beings. You make dua, you pray salat, two rakah, and in your salah you ask Allah, oh Allah, change the heart of that individual from whom I'm asking something and they are bent upon not giving me that. You'll be amazed at times there have been people who have witnessed that somebody told them for 2 weeks constantly, they're not going to give this thing, and they've been asking for them, and the person got on the sujjah, got on the musalla, on the sheet and praying and praying and praying. And that same person came and knocked the door bell and said, here, go ahead, brother. And the person was like, wait a second, you said you're not going to give. Oh yeah, you know what, I just changed my mind. Something came into my mind, my heart says I should give it to you. Who changed it? Allah. قُلُوبُ بَنِي آدَمْ بَيْنَ أَصَابَيْنَ مِنْ أَصَابِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Why do we call him Ar-Rahman? The merciful. He will put mercy and rahmah in that person's heart, give it to him. He will go and give it. That same person was stubborn, rigid, strict. He said, no, I'm not going to give that to you. He comes and gives it at your door. This is proof and testimony of the power of dua. And that's why Rasulullah used to make this dua a lot. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Or if you want to make this dua in jama'ah, you say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. O turner of the hearts. This is one of the properties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya muqallib al-qulub, the changer of the hearts, the turner of the heart, meaning He turns the heart. Heart is 180 degrees this way, Allah changes 180 degrees this way. You see a young boy, young youth, totally in deviation and in party and dancing and this and that. His youth is all going haywire. Parents have given up. All they do is just making dua, dua. All of a sudden you see one day the parents are like so delighted, glamorous. They're like stunned, shocked. So wow, he's praying 5 times a day. He's joined the MSA or some jama'ah, he's working for Islam, and you're like, wait a second, he used to smoke, he used to drink, he was in party, he was in everything. Who changed it? Allah. Why? Because the ab wal kept making dua. And what dua? Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi o qulubana ala deen. O turner of the hearts, O changer of the hearts, steadfast, make firm our heart on your path, ala deen. This is the most powerful dua that any believer can make all the time, anytime, while you're driving, while you're riding the train or bus, while you're walking on the sidewalk, while you're jogging, while you're in the gym, anywhere. Keep saying every step, Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala deenik. So easy to memorize. You can memorize. I'll repeat 3 times for your benefit. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, ثبت قلبي على دينك. Repeat after me, you'll memorize. This will help you. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. O turner of the hearts, make firm my heart on your path. And why wouldn't Allah do that? Certainly. Immediately your dua finishes on the tongue, and the Nusra, help from Allah, comes. You will find yourself the urge and enthusiasm inside to pray, to do things. All of a sudden you feel an energy burst. Why? As a result of this dua. Sabbit qalbi ala deeni. O Allah, make steadfast my heart and my life on the deen. And when Allah makes your heart firm on the deen, He will give you the intuition. He will give you the enthusiasm, He will give you the initiation, the encouragement inside. You will be invoked inside, provoked inside to do good deeds, to do good things. And that is coming as a result of this dua. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qalbi ala deen. The next one, and we'll finish with that for today, is zikrullah. That he says very important. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikrullah. Shaykh Salim Ali said that one of the biggest tools of making ourselves strong in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having a regular daily schedule of zikr Allah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly making some zikr, some azkar, some ways of reciting. Either you can say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. You can make the Salah ala Nabi, Durood Sharif on the Prophet ﷺ. Or you can make even the Dua as a form of Zikr. So when you're making Dua, meaning in other words, he says that the tongue of a believer should be wet all the time with the Zikr of Allah. And the Imam of Kaaba in Haram Mecca, Sheikh Saud al-Shirin, the other one, Sheikh Saud al-Shirin, the other one, the tall one, he was giving a khutbah once, and I was there present listening to him in Mecca over there. And he made a very nice analogy of the tongue of a believer. He said the believer is like a fish. If the fish cannot live without water, the believer's tongue cannot live without what? Fill in the blank. This is the easiest fill in the blank you'll find in your life. Zikr of Allah. This is what the Shaykh Imam of Kaaba is saying. He's saying, think of yourself as a fish. Can any fish survive without water? Just bring a fish, put it on the table. No water. It's going like this. So he went on to say in his khutbah, say, when you see the fish like this, why is it doing like that? Because the very ingredient that is the lifeline of that fish, water, is not there. In other words, he says, if you as a believer are not making zikr of Allah, you should be going like this. Talapna, I mean like bichain, like, you know, you're like restless. You should be shaking. Not dancing, but shaking and moving. Because you are without the lifeline. And he made a very beautiful analogy. He said, look, when you see Muslims calm and tranquil on the streets, and doing whatever they're doing, whether they're cursing or bad deeds or something, or listening to music and things like that, when you see them calmly doing that such an act, they should have ring a bell. What happened to that fish? Has it died? Because sometimes you come to somebody's aquarium, you see a fish floating. You feel in your intuition, oh, it's alive. But you go close to the aquarium. Hey, Brother Salman, this fish is dead. Oh yeah, I didn't know. How come? Look, it's not moving. It's just floating. So dead fishes do float in the aquarium. But they corrupt what? The water in the aquarium. So a believer who's not making zikr of Allah is like that dead fish floating in the water. But corrupting who? Me and you. Those who want to be steadfast on the deen of Allah. Hence we need to do purification. Tazkiyatun nafs. Which is from zikr of Allah. And Shaykh Saleh over here quotes the ayah from Surah Anfal. Surah 8, verse number 45, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةٌ فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. This is in terms of warfare, in terms of fighting and all that. He's saying, I mean, Allah is addressing the believer. He's saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, all you who believe, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ, when you meet, when you confront, when you face, فِئَةٌ, a group of people that is against you or your enemies, a group, cavalry or something, فَثْبُتُوا وَذْكُرُوا, be firm in front of them. And how? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. When you face the enemy, when you face a battalion, be firm. Don't run away dishing back. Rather, فَثْبُتُوا, the first commandment over there in the ayah is, be firm, be steadfast in front, in wake of tragedy, in the wake of trauma, be firm. In the wake of calamity and difficulty and accident, be firm. Have composure. Don't start wailing and start, you know, just being poor. Like sometimes somebody gets in an accident, they come out of the car shouting, screaming, pulling here, pulling there. No, keep your composure. Show others on the street that you are a believer who has a ton of iman in the heart and knows that I've just come out of this accident, there's a purpose for it. And somebody up there had it done, and that someone has also made me come alive out of it. Because it could be sudden impact, and you don't even have the chance to come out alive. You're dead as soon as the impact. So instead of wailing and shouting and screaming and showing, you know, that kind of composure, a person should keep the resolve, فَثْبُتُ, and then the first thing he or she should say is, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, all thanks and praise to Allah over all the circumstances. This is what we say in adversity. If you come out of a difficulty like an accident, you say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Even on this hal of mine, that the car is totaled, I still give Alhamd to Allah. Because when you are driving the car and you are Alhamdulillah healthy and everything, you are saying Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Because over there the hal is already prosperous. It's good. But when the hal changes from prosperity to adversity, or ease to difficulty, you should attach this also, that, oh Allah, thank you and praise to you, ala kulliha, over all circumstances. Because that shows the true stature of a believer, that, oh Allah, I'm not complaining even while I'm in this difficulty or accident. I'm not moaning and groaning, oh Allah, even while I'm facing adversity. I'm still saying all praise and thanks to you, oh Allah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And Allah gets delighted with that. And immediately He rescues the person and gives them more showering of bounty and blessing. As opposed to the person who comes out of the accident, starts shouting, screaming, why Allah did to me? Why only me be chosen? Why only the me? Am I the only believer left to be in azab or thing? By saying those things, you're doing kufr. Plus, you are not making Allah happy. Allah is going to say, acha, this is the case? Fine, let me give you more difficulty. You can't get to the hospital. It takes half an hour to get the ambulance there. So why test ourselves in our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is what he's saying here, that in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ. And look, in many different places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, اِذْكُرُ اللَّهَ, remember Allah. But here Allah attached the extra word, كَثِيرًا. Meaning when you are facing the calamity, facing the adversity, difficulty, you should increase in your zikr. In other words, if you are making 100 tasbih of something in your good days and prosperity days, then now you should be making 200 while you are in the difficulty, while in the calamity. If your daily routine, daily habit life was to make 100 tasbih of subhanallah, 100 tasbih of alhamdulillah, now that you are in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the difficulty, you should be saying 200 times, 1,000 times, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. That's what the Shaykh is explaining here in this ayah, that Allah is implying to us, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. كَثِيرًا مِنْ كَثْرَ, a lot, abundance. Because back then, you were in good days, in the glory days, in happy times. In happy times, you had a regular schedule. So if you continue a regular schedule of only 100, you're not proving anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were making 100 before, 100 now. But now that you are in difficulty, you make 1,000. So Allah says, yes, this is a very thankful slave of mine. He or she remembers me in difficulty and remembers me more. And Allah loves that. Allah loves to be remembered. Because then Allah remembers us in the environment of who are better than us, the angels. That's all I had for today. So just to recap for those of us who came late, that we were talking about istiqamah wa thabat fi sabilillah, having stability and firmness in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was basically a continuation of the khutbah I gave in Bud Lake over there in the hall on Friday. And in the khutbah we covered the Quran as one of the main instrumental tools in establishing stability in the path of Allah, and then the iltizam bi shar'illah, meaning the following of the obedience of the laws of Allah, meaning implementing all the ahkam that we are supposed to do. That is the second tool. Today we covered the third, fourth and fifth, and that is the third one we covered today was pondering or thinking upon the stories of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tadabbur qasasul anbiya. And then the fourth one we had today was dua, supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth one we had today is zikrullah, which was the last one we just covered. And that is the whole summary for us for today. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Inshallah, I open.